That's right.
Yes,
let's get it. On a Wednesday here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610, you got John Lopez, John Peep Lopez. Don't forget the middle initial. Figgy Fig and myself, Reginald Atula, hanging out with you. I just realized when I make sure to say you guys' name, I do point to you.
That's good.
So if you're watching, that is happening. I don't point to myself,
here.
Though.
Right here.
Yeah, it's like we're doing attendance. John Lopez.
Present.
Figgy Fig.
Here.
And I, Reginald Atula, am also here. Very good. You sound off on whether you are here. You join in on the roll call. Text line 713-572-4610. We also got the YouTube and the Twitch going for you, fine folks. Hanging out in those chat rooms, having conversations about the Texans, the Astros. Not as much the Rockets. We'll see if we can get that popping. But ultimately, having a good time on a Wednesday. Another way you can have a good time, definitely hang out with us. Because we will also come back around and give away a $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shop.
How about that?
That's going to happen in the 12 o'clock hours. So you definitely want to hang out for that. But yes, all of those things going on. But yeah, the Texans in a good place. I feel like we constantly say that. And I think that to the point that they are in a good place, it is bolstered by a fantastic win that you have, 41-21 over the weekend. And that also was bolstered, especially when you talk about explosive plays, by the run game. And that got people, people had the tinglies. You know, I mean, people started feeling good about things.
The goosies.
And I think that brought up a question for you, Lopez, which is, what can a bona fide backfield tandem do for the Texans?
Let's talk about that. But first, Figgy, can you shut down the music for just a second?
What?
Uh-oh.
I would like a moment of silence. For Cam Akers.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, your boy, man.
Yeah, you've been caper. That's true. He's been caper for Cam Akers to be RB2. Sometimes I was wondering if he wanted Cam Akers to be the RB1 on this thing.
I feel like you want him to be your son at this point, man.
Cam, could he be my son? How old is he? I wonder. Yeah, he probably could.
I think he can.
He probably could. Quick man. Moment of silence for Cam Akers. Okay, there it is.
Man, Damian Pearson killed him, man.
Damian Pearson took
him
out.
Yes.
Yes, we do. On Angel's wings, he flies. Yes, he does. All the way to Minnesota.
Again. For the second year in a row, he gets traded for traded to Minnesota.
Yeah. But let's get to the bigger point here. Let's turn those frowns upside down, as it were. And this guy, I thought of this during the game. Like, as Damian Pierce was finishing up his touchdown run that he went out on the one.
The kill shot.
I thought.
Wait, did you just take a side swipe at him?
No, he did.
Okay, but on the stat sheet, what'd it say?
It said touchdown.
There we go.
I said on his touchdown run on which he stepped out at the line.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, so as he was doing that and celebrating, I was like, I was telling myself this, which is always a little awkward. Can you imagine?
He says, self?
Yeah. He's like, can you imagine if this is what the Texans get? If they get a 1-2 punch, a solid 1-2 punch. And then the Cam Akers thing fits in very well with this.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there were any doubts, you know, like from Nick Caserio or from obviously D'Amico Ryans, the offensive staff, all the way from Bobby Slowick down, this wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny because I was at the Rockets game last night, Toyota Center, for the preseason game versus the Pels, sitting next to Adam Spillane. I popped my laptop down, I opened it up, and I still had the text line up from the show earlier that day. And one of the texts that I saw that had come in on the text line at that point was, oh, Nick Caserio and the team are stupid for trading Cam Akers with such little depth. And I was like, such little depth?
No,
you were
man.
Wondering
was that
who
John
was...
Lopez number?
It probably was, honestly. I should have double-checked with my phone. But look, man.
I meant to delete that.
Yeah, you didn't get to it quick enough. I saw it. I seen it. But no, this is a team where coming up on game day, you were wondering who was going to be active. That's how many running backs that you had on this roster, right? Now, with health situations, maybe you could bring that up, but it felt like you also had a little bit of found money, also feeling like you could find some level of productivity with Dare running the ball. It feels like coming in, you were resigned to the idea that Dare Ogunbowale was going to be a pass-blocking running back. When he was in, he's just there to pass block, and then boom, get back on the sideline when we get back to the real running backs. But no, you handed the ball to him. You felt like he did he did admirably. He did about what you could ask for him when he carried the ball. And so at that point, Joe Mixon is a dog.
Yeah.
Right? He is a dude. He is a player.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Damian Pierce, at the very least, this organization believes fully in his capabilities running the ball.
Or else this wouldn't have happened.
And then you have Dare, who mm-hmm. you feel comfortable in. Now, J.J. Taylor's an interesting one because he's already exceeded his elevation.
He's
from
what
the
a
practice
fourth
squad.
Running back should look like.
But there you go. Like, yeah, that's four guys that you feel pretty comfortable mm-hmm. putting them back there if you need to. That made Cam Akers expendable, especially when the Vikings, as Nick Caserio told Seth and Sean earlier today, that, you know, when the Vikings come snooping around, like, hey, mm-hmm. we see you have depth, and with they have Aaron Jones out there who's had some injury issues, you think you might have some depth situations, mm-hmm. Cam Akers then becomes expendable, especially because you also have to consider this as they needed a roster spot. They are currently operating in a place where Danico Autry is on an exemption coming back from his suspension, mm-hmm. but you're going to need to find that roster spot at some point. This, in a way, created a roster spot as well.
Yeah.
And so I know people don't want to hear that because that's you know, paperwork, mm-hmm. pushing papers at that point. But that also matters in the course of this. It just made sense. And I think the cool thing for me in all of this was that, hey, Cam Akers, who at that point looked like he was going to be out of the league in the offseason, again, you basically helped him restart that situation in the league where, hey, he is valuable again. He got an opportunity to prove that, and I thought that was cool. But you're in a situation where you have guys that you feel comfortable with. Now, when you say bona fide backfield tandem, I think that's the question that we have to ask is that actually what you have when it comes to the production of it?
And I want to get to that right now because, first, you know, you hit it right on the head. You know, in many ways, Dare Ogunbowale, more than Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce, is another reason that they could make this trade. Dare's emergence as a complete back is another reason that kind of made the decision a lot easier.
Sure.
Because without that, if he was just what we thought he was, special teams guy that occasionally could block in passing situations, Cam Akers could well still be here. But he's not. He's more than that. He's emerged as a guy that, as you said, can carry the ball a little bit, catch the ball, and block. So that made this decision a little easier. But you mentioned, all right, let's look at what it could possibly be.
Sure.
Well, I did that. Like let's look at some of the top teams. All the top teams that are considered either leading the division or considered, you know, having a very good season have a 1-2 punch with a star one.
Okay.
Like the Falcons, Bijan and Algier.
Yeah.
You know, that they're making moves this year because of that largely. We know the Lions, Gibbs and Montgomery, or Montgomery and Gibbs, however you want to say it. How about the Ravens? There's your badass number one, Derrick Henry. Justice Hill is a very reliable number two. Aaron Jones and Ty Chandler with the Vikings. Now you got Cam Akers. I mean, these teams are winning, and they're winning largely because they have that 1-2 punch. So if the Texans can do that, it's a whole different literal ball game, you know, for what they can accomplish this
year. And I think the if then comes in strong here, because if you get performances maybe not exactly like you got in this game on Monday or on Sunday versus the mm-hmm. versus the Patriots, cool. I do wonder if we might be doing the thing that we did in week one where we got a little bit over our skis in some ways, mm-hmm. and I think some of the trepidation, or maybe not trepidation, but some of the pause that I've been given here has been really accentuated by a guy, Seth Payne, on the morning show. Payne and Pendergast, 6 to 10 every weekday here on Sports Radio 610. Seth was talking about, you know, just how we might need to press pause a little bit on getting over our skis when it comes to this run game.
Some of the stuff that I think people are watching the game and thinking, like, okay, this is a different version of the Texans. Look at all these traps and these whams that they ran, all these creative little wrinkles they had. Here's where we got. The Texans can't continue to run the ball the way they did versus the Patriots with the frequency that they did, because mm-hmm. it's too easy to beat some of those plays if an offense runs it too often. Like Cade Stover blocking the nose tackle on the one Joe Mixon run. Yes, that's great. But if you do that multiple times every week, Cade Stover is going to have his trachea chopped in half by a good nose tackle.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to get destroyed. So it's something that's a compliment to the zone running game, but at the end of the day, they've got to really just continue to get better at the staples of their offense. I think people think the Texans are going to abandon their zone runs. The long touchdown to Damian was a zone run. The other good run that Damian had in that game was a zone run. There's no way in hell that they, after that game, they thought, oh yeah, we got to get rid of the zone run.
And now that's obviously talking more about like the way that they're running the football. Like, but I thought that for me, I know it, me in particular, mm-hmm. I think you as well and some other folks were looking at him like, hey, it seems like they kind of, I don't want to say shifted, but they altered a little bit.
It was making the rounds.
The style of the way that they, you know, a lot of wham blocks and, you know, traps and those types of things when it came to the blocking scheme. And notice I mentioned blocking. I think that that's where I have some trepidation because I think your running backs, we know Joe Mixon is going to make more out of what is there. Whatever is provided to him, he's going to turn it into something greater. Dameon Pierce, I'm starting to feel a little bit more comfortable that, hey, you're going to do that. You saw on the big play that we alluded to down the right side that he did, you know, there was some unblocked people and that he made some things happen. He seemed to read the outside zone mm-hmm. better than he has any other time recently, seeing him in that kind of outside zone situation. Oftentimes, it felt like he was running into the back of his blocker, not on that play. So, like, maybe we're seeing progress and a little bit of comfort with that as well. However, the question I have with this is actually less about the running backs themselves, but how comfortable are you with this offensive line blocking up the run game in a way that would allow them to be comparable to some of those other ones? Because you mentioned the Lions.
Yeah.
That's a great offensive line. You mentioned the Ravens. A little bit
they had some
scattered
questions.
With the offensive line, but they're still getting their things done in a big way. Like, I mean, you look around and all of these things, like, it's the interconnectedness of football mm-hmm. in that we can't just talk about individual players. Hell, I mean, even Dameon Pierce, when he was up at the podium, said that all 11 factor in, and he's not just, you know, giving a lip service to that.
Yeah.
It does matter when you're running the football in particular, and that's the thing that I'm interested in, and how effective is the line going to be in blocking those things, because they then factor in, and if you have that, mm-hmm. yeah, then we're talking about something special, because they gave you 192 yards, which matched the 192 that C.J. Stroud gave you in an okay game. And that's the thing. Like, when going back to the question, ultimately, what does a bona fide tandem do? Mm-hmm. It gives you an opportunity to not even have what I think you could call a lackluster game for CJ, which is kind of special in and of itself.
Yeah, exactly.
But and still be dominant on the day.
Well, and I totally agree with Seth. I, you know, I saw the same videos you saw, sort of making the rounds. You know, a lot of guys that we're talking about. Well, they've really changed this or that. Well, you can't make a living like that. But when I say a backfield tandem,
mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about what we saw. That's just what is what triggered the thought.
Okay.
You know, I'm not talking about two guys, you know, basically, you know, busting out 50 yarders every game.
Sure.
And 192 yards rushing. I'm talking about Joe Mixon being Joe Mixon, who's a bad dude. Enough from Dameon Pierce that when he's on the field, you can. You can run.
Right.
And it can be 6 yards. It can be 26 yards or whatever. And the blocking scheme almost, I shouldn't say has nothing to do with it, but almost has nothing to do with it, because what we're looking at is, yes, the line has to be good no matter what.
Sure.
The line has to be good no matter what play is called, what blocking scheme is called. Ultimately, it comes down to the two dudes. D'Amico said that as well. He says, we can coach them up all we want, but the players make you so much better, and that's what they believe in, or else they wouldn't have, coming back to the Cam Akers thing, or else they wouldn't have done it.
No, agreed. Yeah. These guys need to be able to, we're guaranteed, and we feel mm-hmm. very comfortable that Joe Mixon does. Dameon Pierce also needs to be able to take what is given and make some more out of it. And it was encouraging seeing this week that he did that to some degree. But if they're capable of being a bona fide mm-hmm. tandem like what you were describing earlier, that is huge, because that helps with time of possession.
Yep.
Right.
Wear and tear.
That helps with wear and tear. I think for me, the thing that I've still not been able to shake entirely is, can this team put games away?
Mm-hmm.
And you needed the defense to help you really put a good amount of distance in this game.
Yeah.
Being able to run the ball, being able to impose your will against a defense is going to matter in that, and that happens through running the football. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can impose your will necessarily in the same way through paper cuts throwing the football. It is, hey, we're lining it up. We're running the football at you, and we're running
and finishing games,
and that's exactly something that I think would be added. I don't know if added is the right word, but that would be effective for this Texans team if you do indeed have the bona fide tandem that we're talking
about. To be able to finish a game. And by the way, let's give credit where credit is due here as well. We haven't really mentioned Nick Caserio. Dude got a sixth and a conditional. What is the other part of this trade? It was a sixth and a conditional seventh, I believe, out of thin air. Like they signed. He signed Cam Akers as a free agent after training camp started. Like, training camp had already begun. They bring in Cam Akers. He starts tearing it up a little bit. And they get a sixth and a seventh out of it. That comes in That comes in play either this season before the trade deadline or later, because Nick loves to flip those picks. So you're going to get a player out of this, out of thin air, basically. That's huge.
So I think that this is going to be... Yeah, well, I'm super excited to see how this continues forward. I think that's always the perspective is, all right, cool, we've seen some things. What does it look like next? It's always a what have you done for me lately kind of mentality with us, which I'm sure is beloved by the team, right? Just like, hey, cool, all right, you did that. What
Let's
have you
talk
done
about what
lately?
Happened lately.
Exactly. Yeah. But going back, I did, in talking about this game, use the word lackluster or the phrase lackluster in regards to CJ's game versus the Patriots. And I think I tried to contextualize it with, like, for his standards, which speaks to just how great of a quarterback he is. Was I wild in there? Did I step out too far? 20-31, 192, three touchdowns and an interception in calling it, I guess, lackluster for his standards?
No. Did I need a
different verbiage?
Lackluster has a bad connotation.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Maybe pedestrian. Well, that kind of has a bad.
Yeah, let's play thesaurus. The thesaurus game. Let's make Reggie right somehow, because maybe Reggie
right
stepped
word.
Out of the way.
Let's pick the right word. Maybe under his normal standard. You know, below his normal standard. But either way, it was good, and he still made some terrific.
Absolutely.
Terrific plays.
Absolutely. And just to clean something up, you mentioned the Cam Akers trade. The Vikings sent a conditional sixth-round pick, and the Texans send back a conditional seventh-round pick. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's basically a fairly, fairly similar pick swap, and it really feels like the majority of this is moving up a little bit, but then... creating that particular roster room that you would. So there you go.
And the roster room might come in handy later too if Nick Caserio listens to Seth Payne and goes and gets a cornerback or a safety.
We'll talk more about that in the course of this program on In the Loop today on a Wednesday. Wonderful Wednesday. 713, three touchdowns is never lackluster. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Touche. I will continue efforting a better word to utilize to adequately describe how C.J. Stroud was good, but maybe not to the highest extent of what we know he is capable of.
You just did it.
That was a lot of words to get to the point. But you know what? That's fine. We got time. We have you for 4 hours. We're on till 2 here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into our question of the day. In honor of Jerry Jones crashing out on our sister station in Dallas, what was the most memorable time that you lashed out? 713-572-4610. That's the number to text. Let us know. We'll do it next.